With your money briefing, I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. The balance of power is squarely on the employee's side when it comes to asking for more money at work. So how do you go about talking to the boss? And why don't more people do it? We've got the answers in a moment. First, these money and market stories you should know. Typically, between 1% and 2.5% of the price you pay for goods and services goes to cover credit card fees that the card companies charge merchants. And by the way, consumers often pay for those fees whether they pay with credit card or cash. Well, those extra charges are likely to go up. Credit card companies are raising a range of fees that U.S. merchants will pay to process transactions. That's a move that's likely to complicate already tense relations between many businesses and card networks and pull more money out of our pockets. Those increases are expected to go into effect in April. And the Wall Street Journal has a new ebook out that helps you navigate this year's tax season and all the new rules. The Journal's tax reporters will help you better understand topics such as tax rates and brackets, along with the status of the alternative minimum tax and assorted deductions available. Check it out by visiting WSJ.com or the WSJ app. The nation's tight labor market is giving workers increased leverage when they ask for a higher salary or a raise. But are they taking advantage of the balance of power that could put more money in their pocket come payday? And what's the best way to approach talking salary with the boss? Paul McDonald is Senior Executive Director of the Robert Half Global Staffing Company, and he's on the line with us with more details. So, Robert, the jobs picture in the U.S. gets more robust every month. It really has empowered workers looking for a fair salary.
Yeah, there's no question that the job market, it's surprising how good it's been. Throughout the balance of 2018, the number of jobs that were created in the United States was just, you know, beyond compare, actually. The job openings that were just reported for, from the Bureau of Labor Statistics at 7.3 million openings, you know, the companies actually are looking for workers. It's quite astounding. So that gives the talent side of the equation, or the job seeker side of the equation, a little more empowerment if they take advantage of it, as you just mentioned. And we surveyed 2,800 workers. Have you been negotiating, or are you willing to negotiate that job offer salary if given the opportunity? And this year, you know, the results came back. 55% of the people said yes, as opposed to the previous year when we did the same survey, 39%. So you can see that the worker, the job seeker, the employee is feeling empowered. That survey result was quite startling to me because 39 to 55% is quite a large increase.
Yeah, it really is. And let's talk about who's comfortable negotiating for a higher salary. When it comes to gender, your survey says that men try to negotiate much more than women.
I looked at that breakout, and actually I didn't feel good about the result, but you can't argue with 2,800 people that answer that question. 68% of the males surveyed said they would negotiate, where as opposed to 45% on the female side of the equation. And I would encourage everybody to feel empowered. Again, when you're into a negotiation, you have to have your facts. You have to be objective. You have to take the emotion out of it. So all those tables are table stakes. But what I would say to everyone is, if you've done your research, if you've looked in the open space, internet, for instance, Robert Half has a salary guide that we publish on an annual basis. Look at the what's being paid for your types of skills in your marketplace, geography, and have those facts before you go into negotiation. It really does give you the empowerment needed to negotiate in an objective, fact-filled way.
I would imagine some people feel that they'll be frowned upon if they ask for more money. But what is the best way to approach negotiating salary or even asking for a raise if you're already in place at a job?
The employers that are hiring folks, and the employers that you may already be an employee at, they're expecting it today. They know job seekers have the power. They actually, we coach employers to throw out their best offer from the get-go, because good employees have choices today. You know, passive job seekers are being solicited on social media all the time. Networks that were, networking opportunities that were old are now, alive and well. So there's choices for existing employees, and therefore employers are expecting the negotiation. You know, tips are have your facts, make sure that you understand what your what the market rate is, to understand, and how do you do that? You go to, like I mentioned before, you go to the internet, you can see what's being advertised with for your types of skill set in your geography with your types of credentials. Be realistic. Don't get too heady and go forward and say, you know, if I had that degree, look where I would be. Or if I had that certification, look what I could get. That's not reality. Make sure it's a reality-based analysis, and then you have the facts. And then have a business. If you're an existing employee, make sure that you call a meeting with your employer and have a fact-filled business meeting about your career path and what you feel that you're worth is. And most good employers will welcome that opportunity to have two-way dialogue and communication with their employees.
You know, we talked about in Robert Half's survey how men said they're more likely to negotiate than women. The survey also said that the younger the person is, the more likely they are to have negotiated a more attractive salary. And the interesting thing is that younger people would likely start with a smaller salary just because of where they are in the timeline of their career. But they have a lot of negotiating power given this current economic climate.
There's no question. When we broke it down by demographics, where, you know, it's 18 to 34, which is, you know, Gen Y and Gen Z, they came back overwhelmed. They were 65% on the positive or yes side, I will negotiate. Whereas, you know, you look at the 55 plus age group, only 38% said that they would be willing to negotiate. I think that speaks to the way individuals have been brought up in the business community, but also in their personal life. We've brought up a lot of the 18 to 34 year olds. I have two of them. They're just examples of willingness to speak up. We've taught them to speak up. Their professors, their teachers in school, in grammar school, in high school, they all taught them to be bold in asking. However, my coaching would be make sure you remember to have a fact-filled business dialogue with whomever you're speaking with. Don't come across as being entitled. Don't come across as being too demanding, and take the emotion out of it. It's hard to argue with an objective analysis, but it's good to have a debate, a healthy debate. And that's the way that age group was brought up, and I think that's what the survey's coming forward with.
And you may as well strike when the iron is hot because, you know, when it comes to economic happy days, nothing lasts forever.
That's for sure. The balance of power always switches. And if you go back just a decade or 9 years, you know that unemployment was high. There wasn't a lot of opportunity for individuals across the board like there is today. And pretty much I remember individuals saying, we'll take what we can as long as we're unemployed and can pay our bills.
All right. That is Paul McDonald. He's Senior Executive Director of the Robert Half Global Staffing Company. Paul, thank you so much for coming on the line with us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you very much.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for The Wall Street Journal.